All right, amen. What a blessing. Thank you for that offertory. All right. Well, good to see you all. You all having a great morning?
Yes.
Amen. All right. And again, thank you again for your prayers. It was nice to get away and go take care of some of the things I needed to, but it was good to see some grandkids and see some, of course, family. Also went to church and got to see Pastor DeMichael, got to have a coffee break with him the next day. It was nice to just spend a little time with him, got to see a lot of people. It's funny, you were there 23 years, you go, there's so many new faces, somebody looks at you and says, is this your first time here? And it's like, no, been here a few times before. But it's great to see new people there at the church and to see it going forward. So, praise the Lord. All right, so today I'm going to be bringing a message. Today, of course, is our business meeting, but what we've got looking beyond that, of course, we're looking at a missions conference that's just ahead starting on Wednesday, as we've been announcing and as just mentioned just a few moments ago. And Faith Promise is the message I want to bring forth today. So the message title is Faith Promise, God's Way to Help the Missionaries. It's not the only way, but I think it's very, very scriptural, very, very biblical, and I really like it. I really love the way it's laid out. So I'm going to be talking about that today. So I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll be looking really at that whole chapter. When you look at chapter 8, we won't go there. Let me read the first five verses of chapter 8, okay? I'll read that, all right? First five verses of chapter 8 says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, we want you to know, all right? We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, okay? There were several churches in Macedonia where the grace of God had been bestowed upon them to do some pretty incredible things, all right? And it says here, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, all right? They were not rich by any means. They were going through some rough times. But because of the grace of God in their lives, it said it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? I mean, when you're really dirt poor, you go, I can't afford to do anything. I can't afford to give. Well, that's not exactly what happened here. Not at all. The grace of God was poured out upon them. They saw a need and they said, well, we don't have much, but we're going to be a blessing. We're going to do whatever we can. And it said that it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. They were begging us, he said. Paul says, they were begging us to do, can we help? We want to help. That we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Listen, we've gotten a gift together. We've made a collection. And we want you to please take it. Please take it that we could be a blessing to them. They had become like the Lord. I mean, obviously, the Corinthian church had a lot of issues, but they were making great strides, and especially in this area, God was working in their hearts, and some great things were happening, because he's going to speak to this church, but he's talking about the churches in Macedonia, all right, which is at the top of the Aegean Sea, and he said, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, and that's so key right there. Did you see that? It says, and this they did, those churches of Macedonia, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And when you give yourselves unto the Lord, then he's got all of you. He's even got, this thing. Because that's about the last thing to go, pretty much. And he said that they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And they said, the Lord's gotten a hold of us, and we want to do whatever we can. We don't seem like we have a whole lot, but we know that whatever we can do, God will bless it. And he certainly did. So this chapter here speaks about helping others who needed help. And again, there was a great dearth that was taking place that severely affected Jerusalem, the Jerusalem saints, and that church. And again, the word had gotten out to the churches, and Paul notes how the churches of Macedonia that we just read about, that would be the church at Philippi, that would be Berea, that would be Thessalonica, those churches had given sacrificially unto the church at Jerusalem, the saints there, the believers there with their need. And they had made this conscious effort, a pledge to help them out. And in the same manner, churches have an opportunity to do the same for missionaries that are out on a field. Amen. And that's what we've been a part of for all these years that we've been here. Actually, not the very first year. I held off on that, and then I introduced Faith Promise in the year two, in the second year, I believe it was, and brought that forth to the church. But it's an opportunity to make a pledge to support the missionaries that we support in their efforts. Right. Yep. And it's just been great. That's exactly what Paul is doing here with the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And so it was an opportunity to set something aside in order to be a blessing to someone or to some people who are not able to help themselves. And so that's what we're going to look at here. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this message that I entitle Faith Promise. It's God's way to help the missionaries. Father, we come to you today. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And today, Lord, it's always a special day as we gather together on your day. Lord, it's a special day with a meeting that we're going to have, our business meeting, that makes a big statement about what we're going to do in this next year. And of course, coming up this next week is our missions conference. That's certainly our most important meeting of the whole year, and what we can determine to do for missionaries and with the faith promise that goes with it. And so we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given to us. Thank you for all that are here. We know that there are some who are sick and not able to be here. Lord, we pray, Father, that your hand will be upon them and lift them up, that they could be with us soon. We pray for those that may be traveling, that you'd watch out over them. You just gave me safe travels this week, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for those that were praying. And so we lift up those that may be doing that, maybe even today or sometime this week, that you'd watch out over them and keep them safe. But now as we gather together here today, we pray for your blessings to be upon this. We want you to be here in our midst. Lord, we look at how this, how the churches in the New Testament here, as we read about them, how they rallied together and how you worked in their hearts, how the grace of God was upon them, that they were willing to give and make some sacrifices to be a blessing to others. And Lord, would you help us to see the need here? And I thank you for these last several years that we've seen some great responses from your people. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless this year as well. Bless today as we set up for the conference coming up. And I pray in regard to Faith Promise that you'd speak to our hearts. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified, dear Lord. And we pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. I pray for his filling. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. All right, so we take a look here at what Paul is now going to talk to them about. It's not termed Faith Promise Pledge, but that's what we term it, but an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else, to other churches. This particular case, the church at Jerusalem, it was an opportunity for them to rally together and to allow God to do in their hearts, I'm going to make sure I'm on, right? Yeah, to do their part to be a blessing to someone else. And we have that opportunity as well, and we don't want to be neglectful of that. There's opportunities for us, and God's given us, gifts. Some have gifts of giving, maybe others, maybe not so much, but we have to learn how to make sacrifices for others, because sacrifices were made on our behalf, and we've reaped the benefits of them, haven't we? Yes, we certainly have, and we never want to lose sight of that, because there are those that are coming up after us that we need to make some sacrifices so that God's blessings will be there for them. You remember, it was a king by the name of Hezekiah who was a good king, but when he got to the last few years of his life God's judgment was going to come down the road, he was just happy that it wasn't going to happen in his time. I'm not really worried about my grandkids. I guess they'll just have to, but praise the Lord, it's not happening in my time. That's a pretty selfish statement, and we don't want any part of that. We want to be forward looking and thinking about those that are behind us. So now, in regard to this faith promise that we look at here, as we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to take a look at the first points here in regard to this faith promise. And that is, first of all, about being an excitement needs to be a part of it, an excitement. And that's what we're going to see here that takes place. It says, for as touching, in chapter 9, verse 1, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. And so he says, first of all, now in regarding this helping out to the saints, he says, when he says it is superfluous for me to write to you, he's saying it's not even necessary for me to write this to you. I don't even need to write it to you. And he's going to explain why. Because of the excitement, as we get into the next verses, because of the excitement that they had seen with this church, with these people the year before. So it says here in verse 2, he says, for I know the forwardness of your mind. I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. He says, I've seen the forwardness of your mind. In other words, what he saw the year before was he saw their willingness, a forwardness. Yes, we want to be a part of that. We don't use that word forward in that regard, but that's what he's saying. This willingness, looking about, yes, we want to be a part of this. So he's referring to when he was with them in the previous year, and he saw their excitement about being a part of this program. And it needs to be a part of anything that we do. We ought to be excited about it. Amen? They were chomping at the bit to help out. And he says, your zeal hath provoked very many. Your excitement has been contagious. The excitement that you have has been contagious. You ever just been somewhere where there's just a whole lot of excitement going on? I mean, you go to a game, or sometimes you don't even go to a game. You just go to somebody's house, and they're watching a game, and they get excited, and you're like, yeah, this is great. What's going on? Most of the time, you don't even know what's going on, but sometimes just people getting excited just kind of sucks you right in. I mean, that's just something about excitement. It's contagious. Don't you get excited about some things? I think some of you are going, no. Absolutely not. We all get excited about things. I look at Ezra back there. I'm so glad he's back now after that little getaway and what he had to do. But we talk about that. We talk about getting the fizz. Right, Ezra? You know, there's some things that he gets a fizz about. He likes working on cars. I don't get quite the fizz on that one. Okay, just doesn't do something for me. But there's some things I get the fizz about. You know when you open up a Coca-Cola and you get the that's what we're talking about. Some of you are like, help me, fill me in. What are you talking about, the fizz? There's some things that give you the fizz.
Right.
And you know it. Yeah. You know what we ought to get the fizz about is about helping missionaries. It's about helping the cause of Christ, of people getting told about how they can know how they're saved, how Christ died for them, and how he was buried and rose again. Boy, we ought to get the last week when I baptized those three, right? That gives me the fizz. Wasn't that exciting? Yeah, I could tell you were excited. There's things that get us excited. And the Apostle Paul is saying that about this church, that they were, he says, we saw the excitedness and your forwardness. You were ready to do something. And so that's something that just needs to be established in our lives about, really, not just about this, but everything that's related to the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to just be exciting to just be a Christian. And to know him and to be able to have an opportunity to serve him. Yeah, we're going to get down about some things, and there's going to be some things that discourage us. We're human, but we need to get beyond that and just go, man, I'm exhorted and commanded to rejoice evermore and get excited about the opportunities that have been given to me. Boy, we ought to be excited. And if you find yourself lackluster or this Christian life gets to be a drudgery, you're in a bad place. If that's where you're at all the time, you don't want to be there all the time. You want to be excited about what the Lord has done in your life and what the opportunities that he's given to you and I. So excitement just needs to be a part, and it was a part here. And then he says, the second thing that I bring out, there needs to be this follow-through process now. And that's just the best way I'm terming it. There needs to be a follow-through process about how we're going to help somebody who's in need. In this particular case, it was the saints at Jerusalem, that dearth, that famine that had taken place. And a lot of them were hit very hard. And there were others that could help. And that was what this was all about. In our case, it's helping somebody who goes to a field. They go to a field not to go work, because that's usually not even possible, but that's not the idea. They're not there to go and get some job and then try to reach missionaries. They're to go there being fully supported, and their full-time job is to start churches, to win people to Christ, to see a work go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they need somebody else to help them and to fund them and to support them. So we take a look now at this follow-through process, and in verse 3 it says, "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready." So what's taking place here is Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. They're in the region of Achaia. That's the best way I pronounce it. Achaia. And that's Greece, all right? This is the city of Corinth, which is in Greece. And he saw their excitement, which was the previous year. And so now he says, "I'm sending some to you. I'm sending some on our behalf." And so he sent some faithful brethren. The previous chapter in verse 6 talks about how he sent Titus. He says, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." So Titus was sent to be a blessing and to be used by the Lord to help their perfecting, that the grace of God that had begun in them would begin to be more and more perfected. That's the same route that every one of us is to go down. We're to simply yield unto the Lord, yield to his word, yield to preaching and teaching, that it might establish us more and more in the things of God, and that we might be perfected more and more in his grace. So Titus was sent in advance to make sure that they were following through with their initial excitement. Okay, that's just a smart move, all right? That was obviously led of the Lord, that he wanted Titus to go down, and he wanted, "Titus, when you go down there, obviously I'm going to send you, and you're going to be a blessing to them. You'll have opportunities to teach and minister and preach to them, but I want to find out if that initial excitement about what they wanted to do was still there." And that was important, that commitment that they had made. He was hoping and praying that it was not just short-lived, right? Listen, people, we are all short-lived about something. I mean, some things in our life that we get excited about. Yeah, I'm going to diet this year, and I'm going to lose 40 pounds. And by January the 3rd, we're already ordering double-doubles at In-N-Out. Well, I was at In-N-Out this last week, okay, by the way. Sorry. I've squelched the whole spirit here. Yeah, so. No, but you know what? I mean, you get a little ways into something, and probably you have experienced this yourself. It's like, yes, I was fully committed to that, just like last week, and it's all fizzled out. The fizz is gone. It's just not there anymore. We do that with, exercise routines or regimens. How many of you have done that? I want you to be honest and raise your hand. Okay, yes. We're like, I'm going to exercise 365 days this year, and I'm not going to fail. And then we just get 1 week into it, and then we just do a face plant, and it's over. All right? listen, a lot of things can just be short-lived. And so Paul was wanting to make sure that this was not short-lived. And then he says here in verse 4, lest haply. He says, lest haply. So we would maybe say, so if by chance, all right, lest haply. So if by chance, maybe is what we might say. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me. Okay, those that are of Macedonia that have been excited about what God's done in their heart and about helping the church at Jerusalem, if some of them were to come down with me down to where you're at, he says, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, he said, I'm including myself in this with you. This is all, we're all a team together. I'm not going to just throw you under the bus by saying you. He says that we find you unprepared. He says, we, and that we say not ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He says, so that when the time comes to collect this offering that you were so excited about us, and you look at us totally surprised, like, why are you here? What offering are you talking about? Well, that would be very embarrassing, right? You were so excited about this. You were so excited about doing something. And when we come down and we say, you know that offering we talked about? What offering, Paul? What are you talking about? Again, we've probably all been there and been excited about something, and then it just died out real quickly. And so Paul's prayer was, hopefully that just did not happen. And that's why I'm sending someone beforehand to make sure your offering is ready. In verse 5, he says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before, that they would go beforehand, all right, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, all right, which is that offering, whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So he says, I'm sending those before beforehand to make sure that you're ready to do what you once committed that you were going to do, and that you're not going to get caught by surprise and be embarrassed. Now listen, for those of us at Cornerstone Baptist Church, this plan to follow through in helping missionaries comes by making a commitment. It comes, you know, those cards I just showed you a little while ago, a commitment to make a pledge for the next year. And again, I want it to be between you and the Lord. I really do. I want you to be excited about it, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited that we've been able to do so much in these last several years. So now the next part is for individual members to be willing to give. Okay? That's what he's going to talk about now. And this third point that I bring up is in regard to quantity and quality. Quantity and quality. You'll see how he lays this out here, as this is going to be something that is up to them. And this is where, listen, I refuse to be a salesman, like I just said a moment ago. I'm not here to get you just all excited and into a tizzy and shame anybody. And get, I'm not going to do that. I'm excited. You know, I'm not going to come. I'm not like, you know, from the planet Vulcan, like, the character from Star Trek, whatever his name was, Spock. Yeah, listen, we have some, you know, some emotions, and we get excited, and I want to get excited. But I want you to simply just take it to the Lord and just talk to him about it. And I'm not trying to get somebody to do something that is unrealistic, but what God would have you to do. So I'm not trying to be some high-pressure salesman. I'm really not, and the Lord knows that. But he says here in verse 6, he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, you know what sparingly means, right? Just a little. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. If you sow a little, you're going to reap a little. But then he says, and he which soweth bountifully, right? You know what bountifully is, certainly. If you sow much, soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The Lord tells us very clearly about our sowing and our reaping. We can do it sparingly or we can do it bountifully. but how we sow is how we're going to reap. Amen? That's how it works. And again, it's not an issue of here me trying to, you know, work all this up into a froth. I don't want to do that. I heard about an enthusiastic minister was exhorting his congregation to become more active in church affairs, to get the church on its feet. And he said, brothers and sisters, he proclaimed, what this church needs is the energy to get up and walk. And one of his deacons said, let her walk, brother, let her walk. And the preacher raised his voice a little and added, but we cannot be satisfied with walking. We've got to pick up speed and run. And the same deacon chimed in, let her run, brother, let her run. And the preacher was really getting into his message now. But running's not enough either. One of these days, this church has got to fly. And the same deacon echoed, let her fly, brother, let her fly. And the preacher paused for a moment and he said solemnly, but if this church is going to fly, we are all going to have to work harder and give more money. And the same deacon said softly, let her walk, brother, let her walk. It's kind of like the pastor that said to his congregation, he said, you know, we got some good news and we got some bad news. He said, well, what's the good news? The good news is we've got enough money to build that new building that we're planning on building. Amen? Amen. And they said, well, what's the bad news? And the bad news, it's still in your pockets. That's the bad news. Now, Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25. Just take a look at that passage real quick. Proverbs chapter 11. And these verses are all over, by the way, but I'm just going to read a couple. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25 says, and we're talking about, you know, sowing and reaping and being, you know, either sparingly or bountifully, as that passage says. Verse 24 says this, there is that scattereth, okay? And what that's saying is, there are people that scatter. And you know what he's talking about? They're generous. There is that scattereth. They just keep giving. They just keep giving. And he says, and yet increaseth. They keep giving away a lot, but they keep increasing. This is what he's talking about. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. And you know, more than is meet is means more than necessary. More than they need to. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Boy, that's pretty sobering when we read that. And then verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Isn't that our great verse, right, Brother Park? We love this verse, don't we? The liberal soul shall be made fat. Brother Park is always quoting that verse, and I love it. I always say amen. The liberal soul, that means, we're not talking about liberals in today's sense, but liberals, somebody who's giving liberally. A liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, the Lord's saying, if you just learn to give and you learn how to be generous, and I'm going to say we've got a church of a lot of generous people.
Right.
We do. It amazes me. I'll refer to some things here in just a moment, but we have folks that I want to just say thank you because I want to commend you. You folks have been so gracious and so kind and so generous to others' needs. And that's what that verse is saying about, listen, there's those who just scatter and then they just continue to increase because God blesses them. And God will bless that over and over. It says here at the very beginning of verse 7, it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Make sure to pray about it. I'm asking you to pray about these faith promise pledge cards. Pray about it, then purpose in your heart. And if God doesn't lead you to do it, you know, I'm not going to know. I don't know. I don't look at those cards as they come in because I do take the cards. They come to me. And I say, okay, this person's going to give, you know, so much per week, and or they're going to give once a month, and I note it down. I have to. Somebody's got to add them up, right? But I don't really look them over like, I recognize this handwriting. I know who makes their S's just like that. Oh, I know where this came. I'm not doing that. It's done anonymously. So it comes in, and it's from people who've purposed in their hearts. So what I'm saying is, if God doesn't lead you to do it, then don't do it. But pray about it and purpose in your heart. So let him give, that first part of the verse, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So pray about it. And if God lays it on your heart, then just be willing to do what God says, because if you'll obey him, he'll bless you amazingly. And then the last part of that verse, it says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. If your heart is set on doing it grudgingly, then just don't give. God doesn't want it. Although I've heard someone did say this once. They said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, but he also accepteth from a grouch. So you still can turn it in. But he wants it done willingly. God loves it done. He loves when things are done willingly. We all know that, right? I mean, listen, guys, if we gave our wife some beautiful earrings for her birthday and she says, oh, these are gorgeous. What made you think of getting me these beautiful earrings? And you say, well, it is your birthday, and I just felt obliged to get you something. Well, all the rewards you could have gotten, brother, just went bye-bye, right? You know, don't blow it by saying something like that. I mean, your wife, it's just like, your wife's not going to appreciate that because you just did it out of obligation. Nobody appreciates that. That's why it says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The last part of that verse says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is looking for cheerful givers. That's what makes him happy. I mean, don't you, and I certainly will answer in the affirmative here, don't you and I want to do things that make him happy? I mean, if you can do something and you can put a smile on God's face, and I believe we can, because the Bible speaks about how we can bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's making him happy. And we can do that by how we respond to him, by the things that we do in this life. And if we do some things along this line, we give unto him. That's why that verse says, the liberal soul shall be made fat there, that we just read in Proverbs chapter 11. And I'll say this again to parents. Encourage your kids to be a part of this. Please. And if you do it the right way, the fourth thing that I bring up is he will greatly bless you. He will greatly bless you if you just do it the right way. Now, listen, again, these last few years, we have seen, I think it was 3 years ago, I think we had in the teens of how many signed up pledge cards and turned them in. And, you know, there's a lot more families than that. Well, the next year, 2 years ago, we had 21 families or individuals, families. Again, I don't know who they came from, who's turned them in, but we saw 21 turn them in. And then last year, there were 30 that turned in pledge cards. And so I'm seeing more and more. Now, there's still more families than 30 that are represented here in this church. Again, I'm just making an appeal to you, what God will do. If for some reason you just think, I can't afford to do this. Well, that little widow couldn't afford those two mites, but she put them in that plate anyway in the temple. And the Lord blessed her. Do you think that lady was just had no more money the rest of her life? No way. The Lord made sure she was well taken care of. The Lord, I don't know to what degree, but I bet something of a great surprise came in for that widow in the next few days. I just believe it. I can't believe this surprise that's come to my door, this package, and somebody has sent me this amount of money. I'm not saying that it always works out that way, and that shouldn't be our motivation, by the way. It shouldn't be, well, what am I going to get out of this? That's the wrong motivation. It ought to be, I want to just help somebody. And Lord, whatever you choose to do, but the Lord, he'll bless you some form or fashion. He will bless you if you'll just trust him and allow him to do what he wants to do in your life. All right, let me see where I'm at here. Verse 8, let me see. So it says here in verse 8, he will greatly bless you. Verse 8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He will make sure that you have grace sufficient for everything that you face. That's just a great thing in and of itself. For God to bless you because you were faithful to be a blessing to someone else, and maybe you dug deep into your pockets and you said, I'm going to make this commitment. I'm going to do something. And God says, I'll give you my grace to a greater level just because of the fact that you've trusted me. I'm going to bless you that way. How many of you could use more of God's grace in your life? I certainly can, and I know when God's grace is there, and I know sometimes when I'm just not quite where I'm supposed to be and the grace of God is not, what it ought to be, I know the difference. But it's just a great thing. Right, Brother Jordan? It's just a great thing when the grace of God, you say, oh, that's your grace. Thank you, Lord. Boy, we can all use the grace of God to a greater degree. And it will be poured out to you and I, and how good is that? Then in verse 9, he says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So I want us real quick to turn to Psalm 112, all right? Psalm 112, and just read this real quick. In Psalm 112, this is talking about that person I referred to earlier. It's about a godly individual who is also just very generous. God blesses this individual. I'll just read through this chapter real quick. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. What great blessings on the person who's trusting the Lord and walking with him as we read all the way. And then it says this, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. And then it says this, he hath dispersed. We read this verse a little while ago. He hath dispersed. He's given out. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Listen, that's just the blessings upon somebody that just says, Lord, whatever I have is yours, and I just want to be generous with it. Let me just say again, you folks have been so generous. You're so kind to me a few weeks ago, and we celebrated our 10th year here. Thank you. I mean, it just blows me away how generous you are. But I don't want to be somebody that just takes it in. I really do. I go to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I be a blessing to somebody? Is there something I can do? You know, you get somebody a gift card and you just kind of send it to them anonymously. Or you do something that you can be a blessing to these people or that. You can spend your time with somebody. Whatever it is I can do. Folks, it's a blessing when you allow God to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. And so that verse, that whole chapter there, 112 of Psalm, is a godly and righteous man that is generous, and how much God blesses him. And then we take a look at verses 10 and 11. And verses 10 and 11 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, this is the Lord it's speaking about, he is God. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister and seed to the sower is a missionary, okay, and what we're talking about right now. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And then verse 11, the first part says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. So Paul speaks about how God ministers seed to the sower. And again, that would be the missionary that we're talking about with faith promise. And he will turn around and bless the giver or the sower, with plenty of bread and bountiful seed, and with a great increase of fruits of righteousness. Okay, now listen, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. That's a foolish gospel that's preached, all right? But I do believe that God will wonderfully take care of your needs when you're generous. And when you take a cause like Faith Promise to be a blessing to a missionary or several missionaries or however God lays it upon your heart, God will take care of you. He will bless you. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, I was looking for this verse a couple of weeks ago, but this verse says this in Luke 6:38: "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And not only is it a blessing to others, and it's used by the Lord to help somebody to go to a field to bless others. It also says this at the last part of verse 11, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. It also produces thanksgivings unto God from those who administrate it. That was Paul talking here. Paul and Titus and Silas and all that, and Timothy, all that were a part of this. It brings great joy to them. And I'm in the position of helping to administrate what takes place with all of this. To see these cards coming in week to week and like, oh man, thank you, Lord. Look what's come in. We'll be able to do even more. And I want to say this. This doesn't hardly happen. I mean, I haven't gone around and polled churches, but I just know that this does not happen. I don't know numbers. But last year, we've pledged, I believe it was just over $55,000 in Faith Promise. $55,000. Usually what comes in drops off of that amount. You know, usually when $55,000, you usually think, okay, probably somebody loses their job, somebody leaves the church, somebody just, maybe they just, they're not walking with the Lord, and they just determine, I could use that money. Usually it drops off, and you kind of figure, okay, maybe it'll drop off, and maybe if we get $48,000 out of that $55,000, praise the Lord, you know, we'll be happy with that. No, it was pledged $55,000 last year, and you know how much came in? If you look at the numbers on those sheets, $62,700 and some. So we ended up going over, and you know we've done that the last few years. What was pledged and what has come in, we've gone beyond it. I mean, that is really noteworthy. It really is, and it's just, again, a commendation to you. Thank you for doing that. Praise the Lord. And then this last thing is, in all of this, you know, those who administrate it, and it just brings joy to me to see what's happening. It's like, wow, we can do more. Paul was saying that in that verse right there. We can do more. Thank you, Lord, for the generosity of these saints. They're willing to do it, but thank you for your grace that has worked in their lives. But also, this last point, and I'll just be brief in these last few verses, is others are greatly blessed. Others are greatly blessed as we finish this chapter, because he says, for the administration of this service, how it's facilitated, all right, the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, all right, the lack of the saints, the Jerusalem Christians, believers that were being blessed by the generosity of these saints that were up in Macedonia and then others as well. He says, the service not only supplieth the want or the lack of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. He said, when this program is utilized or facilitated, it helps the ones in need, for sure. And then it produces just great thanksgivings. There are folks in churches that, you know, Brother Jason comes up and he shows us, you know, the missionary that we highlight for the week, and we see either a video or some pictures of people that have gotten baptized, people that got saved, people that have been helped. And you know, so many times we don't hear it, but they will say to their pastor, oh, all these folks that have helped you to get here, We're so excited and thankful that they made those sacrifices. Otherwise, we wouldn't have heard the word of God. And we wouldn't have gotten saved. So there's people that are thanking a missionary, or they're thanking others, and certainly they're thanking the Lord that he used whatever means he used to bring somebody to them with the gospel. So there are many thanksgivings that are being made. And then verse 13, he says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, all right, of this ministry, they glorify God for your professed subjection. They're glorifying God for the fact that you have trusted Christ, but you've also yielded to make these sacrifices. That's what he's saying here. Your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So because of this demonstration, this experiment, as he says, of this ministry, it causes, again, those that are helped to glorify God. And they're thankful for what you and I have done, and this pledge that we've made. And then verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And then it also prompts a response of the recipients to pray for God's grace on the givers. So they're not only thankful, oh, thank you, Lord, but Lord, will you bless them? Will you bless them maybe from year to year that they could reach out and reach other people by their gifts, by their pledges? And folks, wouldn't it be great if even more came in? I know these are hard times, but wouldn't it be great if we continue to keep going and we're able to take on more? You know, we're going to be voting on 3 missionaries today as a result of what took place, you know, last year, and we're going to be adding them on, and we'll go from 27, I believe, now to 30. And wouldn't it be great if we, maybe not too far down the road, we're supporting 50?
Yep.
That'd be awesome. That would be a great, great thing. And so they pray for God's grace to be on those givers. And folks are praying for you and I because of the pledge that we've made. And then verse 15, as we cap it off, it says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May all of this cause us to look unto God and thank him for his unspeakable gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He gave us the greatest gift of all. And if we know Christ as our Savior, it is an unspeakable gift. We don't even have the words to describe how great he is, our great Savior, who came and gave his life for us. And so with the Lord giving himself completely for us, there ought to be something inside of us that would say, Lord, you know, it's pretty tough here lately, but I'm going to trust you with something. It could just be little, but God will bless it if you'll be faithful with it. Be faithful with the fact that, or just be maybe as a steward, just being faithful unto him with how much he's been faithful to us and what he did for us. And so I just say, pray about it this week, in the next few weeks, because this next week with the missions conference and then next Sunday, that won't be the only time we're taking in cards. It'll go on for a few weeks. You just pray about it and see what God would have you to do, and see what this church can do as far as going forward in our missions program and helping missionaries. I was telling, and I think I brought it up just in the last couple of weeks, wouldn't it be great, Brother Jason, to look back there and just see that whole wall filled up with, you know, with those missionary plaques. And all of those plaques, you know, obviously they represent a missionary that we support. And there's 27 right now, and we want to add more. And so I just want to make that challenge to you. I will say this, maybe you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Let me just put this in there, because this is what it's all about. We're talking about, as a church, we want to help missionaries to get to the field to tell folks that don't know Christ about how there was a great Savior that died for them on a cross and was buried and rose again. And that statement is true. That's just a true fact, that Jesus Christ died for you here today if you're without Christ. And he lived a sinless life and was buried and rose again. And the Bible says if you'll come to him as a sinner, and you realize that you need a Savior, he'll save you today. And I would encourage you to step out in the aisle and come up to the front. We'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. But with that, let's go ahead. I want us to bow our heads right now. And we'll have the music begin to play here in just a moment. And then we'll sing a hymn of invitation. But if God has spoken to your heart or he's speaking to your heart even now in regard to faith promise or whatever it is, God can choose whatever he wants to speak to a heart about. If he's speaking to you about something, I hope you'll respond to him. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, then I would encourage you. We would love to see you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would encourage you that as we begin to sing this hymn, that you'd step out in the aisle, come to the front. We'll have somebody here that can show you how you can be saved and know that you have everlasting life. Father, we come to you today and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for how you've laid out things so clearly to us. We thank you for something that took place a couple of thousand years ago and how you used churches to help that need. Those saints in Jerusalem that were hit so hard, many were hit hard by the dearth, but they really took it in such a difficult way. And there were others that rallied, other churches that rallied around them and dug deep and were a blessing unto them. Now, Lord, our situation is we're looking at backing missionaries who they don't go into a field to take a job, to make money. They need to be supported. Would you help us to get that vision? Would you help us to respond to you? And I pray, Father, that if you've worked on some hearts today, I pray that every one of us would respond as we're supposed to. And if there's somebody here without Christ, we pray for their salvation as well. We thank you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.